You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Abdul Anessa is a second-year law, politics and international relations student, and Kerry Burke is in her first year of a sociology degree. They've joined us to talk about life as blind and partially sighted students. So what was important to you both when you were choosing universities and accommodation?
For me, it was making sure that it was really close to campus, obviously going to be studying, but also access to sports facilities. I require them to keep active and keep on top of my sports program.
And how about you, Kerry?
I'm the youngest of three, and because we lived near Glasgow, both of my older siblings just chose within like the ones in Glasgow, obviously. But I was kind of weighing up the options of, oh, okay, I think I'd feel ready to move out if I needed to. So then when it came to choosing the unit, it really was just about the one I felt I liked the most, and in the courses that like I felt like connected the most with me and everything like that, the one that I found, I then chose to move to.
And how did you both find the transition to university? How do you find balancing kind of hobbies and learning to study and live independently?
So I come from a big city anyway. It's busy, but obviously not as busy as Glasgow. So like coming here, to be fair, was quite nice, especially during pandemic year, because it meant that I can actually get used to the city without my full-time classes being on. So I can literally just wander about for 2 hours trying to get my independence and my mobility skills up around Glasgow city centre, just because it gave me a bit of extra time to get used to the cities. When I came back for my second year this September, I had a map in my head of where everything is in the city, things that I need to know.
And how was that transition for you from having your first year during the pandemic to second year now, where university is mostly all in person?
It's really tricky because I know all the outdoor part of the campus. However, when I go inside a building that I've never been in before, you can have some tutorials that you'll only be in one building once in the semester and you'll not see it again. So trying to get used to an environment when you're visually impaired and trying to do route planning is not the most convenient thing. Also, they only released the timetable a week before the term started, so I didn't really give time to find where all the rooms are for my classes. Apart from that, I live really close to like all the transport links, so that really helps with my sport in terms of travelling down for competition.
And how about you, Kerry? How did you find the transition to university?
Well, I'm kind of currently at the place that Abdul was last year, where it's mostly just doing the mobility work and knowing, like, gaining the independence. But over the summer, I've worked with, I think it was, like, 5 mobility instructors at one point, like, to know the public transport links and everything like that, and, like, learning the station layouts. And then, like, independence skills of just gaining, like, everything you need to do whilst living by yourself. But for the uni side of things, it was the equipment, with the dispersed advisor, getting my learning plan set up and kind of knowing the routes to classes and everything like that. So it's been challenging, but it's been really good. It came at the right stage for me.
And what are some of the big highlights or the biggest challenges that you've both faced so far?
Obviously, I've only been here a couple months, but I think after the freshers week, or even a couple of days into freshers, it was great to be able to meet everyone. Even then, I feel like I was coming up on a curve to be like, oh, I've moved in for like a couple of days. I actually know where everything is now. But I think with the study rota, when everything that came into play, it was really just knowing like the modules and knowing like how much to study, when to force yourself to go to a library and everything like that. But I've got my first exams coming in a month. Those will be the big challenges. They're still to come for me.
I went to a specialist college down in Hereford called the Royal National College of the Blind, and that was like really small classes. And if I had questions, I'd just go and ask the teachers straight away, and then I'll figure out what the amount of time I need to spend studying would be like. So it was kind of a shock when I moved up to uni and basically found that you need to discipline yourself to get an essay done. Definitely still something I'm working on, but trying to balance it with physical activity and my part-time job is a bit of a challenge, so it does require a lot of planning.
I, at least when I started uni, had a lot of very unrealistic expectations about what my uni life would look like. Did you have any expectations that you either think this was reasonable and that's happened for me, or that hasn't happened at all?
I was like, oh, you know what, I'll just be so organised, just do what I did at A-levels. But I soon realised that all the methods I used at A-levels were not as useful as I thought they would be. It's a completely different environment, completely different structure of study, completely different learning styles. I soon realised that I needed to do a lot of reading instead of actually memorizing stuff like you have to do to pass A-levels. And to get access to that amount of reading, you actually have to go to the digitization service to get them to produce an accessible format of the book or the case in my law degree. It's just knowing how to advocate for yourself. And because I went to a specialist college for 3 years, I didn't have to do a lot of that advocacy.
How about you, Kerry? Were there any expectations that you had to change?
I definitely think the complete difference of the schedules to uni to high school, because obviously in high school, you're there at the same time every single day doing like the same classes, everything like that. Whereas in uni, you just have a couple classes a day. So then you don't realise like how little percentage your class time actually goes into like the uni work you need to do. So then like all the research beforehand and then like the reading for the seminars and everything like that. When you're combining it, like the classes can seem like the chill part of the course because you need to just sit there and take notes and then you have to go away and actually do what the course is talking about. I get vision fatigue sometimes. I can just wake up and it's sunny and then my eyes are start hurting. So then it's like I come out of the lecture and then that's when I'm meant to do the work. If it was a tiring day and it's a tiring lecture, it's kind of being able to add on that time as well as like the schedule.
Are there any changes that you'd like to see in higher education to make it more accessible for blind and partially sighted students?
I think have someone there who the student can go back to and ask those questions to that are independent from the university, because right now my disability advisor is working for the disability service at the uni, an independent body that does have knowledge of the rules and where everything is would make a lot of sense to aid in accessibility.
What is coming up next for you both, whether that's the next week, the next term, the end of uni?
Well, short term, obviously, the Christmas exams, but then I'm also a part of Haggai. I do the Scottish Youth Parliament, like, as a representative. So there's a lot of work coming at, like, this time of year to, like, set in, like, parliamentary motions and everything like that. But then also, like, long term for uni, I definitely want to do something, like, humanitarian-based. The degree I'm doing is perfect for it.
And how about you, Abdul?
In the next few weeks, obviously, apart from deadlines that I've got a couple of sports tournaments that I need to travel down to England for. Long term, I want to do something to do with human rights-based law.
Well, thank you so much to Abdul and Nessa and Kerry Burke for joining us here at RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.